As the president bids farewell to his job, even he's joking about it. This is from his final news conference with the press corps.
Sometimes you misunderestimated me.
No one laughed. Over the years, his turns of phrases have not so much been controversial as they've been seen as insights into the man. Jacob Weisberg has been collecting what he calls Bushisms. Weisberg is the editor-in-chief of the Slate Group and author of The Bush Tragedy and Bushisms. Good morning and welcome, Jacob.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Bush's critics have seen this language, his language gymnastics, as a sure sign that Bush is just not that smart. But you think there's a little bit more to it.
I think it's a bit more complicated than that. I think he has a problem with language, which is probably something akin to dyslexia. His father had a version of it. It's not dyslexia because, paradoxically, when he's got a teleprompter in front of him, he's very fluent and has no trouble reading it and makes very few mistakes. But when he speaks extemporaneously, when he wings it, when he's just chatting, he comes up with these expressions, and also he has these sort of a language processing problem. You know, he confuses the singular and the plural. He gets words backwards. There's some sort of jumble. So I think it's some sort of minor deficiency, and it sounds like the way somebody who is really stupid or uneducated would talk, but I don't think that's the case.
Here's an example of what you're talking about from 2000, January 11th, 2000.
Rarely is the question asked, is our children learning?
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's a very good example of it. And note there that he got it right before he switched and got it wrong. So he started to say, are the children learning? And somehow the right thing sounded wrong to him, and he switched and said, is the children learning? But that confusion of the singular and plural happens all the time. I mean, I stopped collecting those because a lot of them just aren't. They're just not fun. They're repetitive. He says it again and again, especially when he's talking about education for some reason. But he just—it's just a speech pattern with him.
There's kind of some irony in that if it happens often when he's speaking about education. So why did you start collecting these, and what insights do you think that you've garnered after taking a look and studying them?
Well, I started collecting them during the 2000 campaign in 1999 when I first went on a trip with Bush when I was covering him for Slate magazine as the political writer. And we stopped somewhere in New Hampshire and got off the plane, and these pearls just started coming out of his mouth. And I looked around at some of the other reporters, and they were all snickering. And it was clear that they were totally used to this, but nobody had particularly made a big deal out of it. I think he wasn't being taken that seriously at that point. So I started putting them up on Slate as Bushism. At first it was Bushism of the week, and before long it was Bushism of the day, and readers would send them in, and it sort of became a game and a lot of fun to collect them. But the advantage for me is, you know, I've tried for the most part to treat this as a humor exercise, and it's interesting that early on there were a lot of people who liked Bush who sent them in, who thought they were funny. And Bush himself was really in on the joke. He read from his own Bushisms at the first press dinner he had in Washington after the 2000 election. But over time, as Bush became a more embattled and controversial figure, I think they took on the whole exercise became, it was understood as more hostile, even though my attitude towards it didn't really change. People thought, oh, well, if you're collecting the silly things Bush says, he must be making fun of him.
The first soundbite that we listened to was from 2000. Here's one from this week and his last news conference with journalists.
I'm telling you, there's an enemy that would like to attack America, Americans, again. There just is. That's the reality of the world. And I wish him all the very best.
Now, it sounds like he's wishing the enemy the very best, when in actuality, apparently, he was referring to President-elect Barack Obama.
Yeah, so that's a good example of where there's a thread going on inside his head, but he's lost it in the flow of his conversation. And it sounds like he's giving his parting good wishes to Osama bin Laden. And to me, those are the most delightful Bushisms, really, because it's not just a slip of the tongue, but it is he is managing to say 100% the opposite of what he thinks he's saying and what he wants to say. Some of my favorite Bushisms follow exactly that pattern.
Well, Jacob, this is Todd Zwillick here. We mentioned Barack Obama, and, of course, everyone knows that in terms of speech and delivering speech, he's almost the polar opposite of the current president. He's as smooth as can be, comfortable with the teleprompter, comfortable in press conferences. It's nice to listen to, and he's a great communicator, but are we going to be missing something? Is there anything that we're missing, or is it going to be an advantage to have a new president who doesn't make Obama-isms?
Well, can't both be true.
Sure.
I certainly think it's an advantage to have a president who's fluent and articulate and who's a model for language and who can use words to persuade people and move people. That's a wonderful thing. But I certainly will miss the Bushisms. People have had a lot of fun with them. And I think that is, to be slightly more serious about it, it's healthy to make fun of our leaders and to have a comic distance from our leaders. It doesn't mean we should make fun of all leaders all the time. But there are countries where you can be thrown in jail for
That's very true. And you know what? I've actually been to a couple of those countries. But I want to get to a few more bits of Bush sound because I understand that these are some of your favorites. This one is from him speaking on August 5th, 2004.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we.
Oops.
That sounds like he's suggesting that we spend time thinking about ways that we can harm ourselves.
And that echoes the other one you read from the press conference the other day. That I do think that is the greatest Bushism of all time. In fact, one of the collections of Bushisms is subtitled
of all time.
New Ways to Harm Our Country. Well, I've been collecting these for 9 years. I mean, as long as my 9-year-old daughter's been alive, it's amazing. And I will say one of the nice things about collecting them is that it has made me pay very close attention to Bush's words over the years. I've spent a lot of time poring over his press conferences, speeches, statements, looking for these, but at the same time absorbing what he actually meant and what he said. And it's a good exercise. There's a lot that doesn't get reported. There's a lot that gets lost, and there's a lot that you can understand if you simply track the utterances of any president, I think.
Well, that's a very interesting explanation as to what happens. Perhaps President Bush and I have something in common because I have a tendency to do something like that on occasion. Anyhow, Jacob Weisberg, we can't thank you enough for joining us today. We appreciate your thoughts.
Thanks for having me on.
Jacob Weisberg is editor-in-chief of the Slate Group and author of The Bush Tragedy and Bushisms. And let's go out on another one of Jacob's favorites.
But I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.